You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, the second hour is now upon us, ladies and gentlemen. This Saturday evening, September the 21st, we are live, unrehearsed, and uncensored, as always. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here in the studio. You just heard a great first hour from Mark Weber, who helped us make sense of the ongoing and continuing developing situation in the Middle East. In the third hour, Paul Fromm will be back to talk about the Justin Trudeau brown face fiasco. What's going on in Canada? Paul Fromm, our favorite Canadian free speech activist, will be filling us in on that. But now, Roger Devlin, Dr. F. Roger Devlin, returns to the show. He is, of course, a contributing editor to the Occidental Quarterly and the author of a book that I trust everyone in our listening audience will have in their home library, Sexual Utopia and Power, The Feminist Revolt Against Civilization. Roger,
now
welcome back, and how are you?
In an audio edition, I should
Now, do you voice the audio edition? That's interesting.
That's right, yes. So you can get it from Countercurrents. It's me reading it. You can't get it from Amazon, unfortunately, because they have censored it. But I do have an audio book now out through Countercurrents Publishing.
Now, which that, book is that? Is that
that's Sexual Utopia Power. Oh, yeah, that's the
big,
that's the epic. Well, now, this is interesting. How long did it take to read through that?
I think it's several hours, longer than I expected. I'm not actually sure the exact length of it. I'd have to look it up myself. But it took quite a while to record it. We had to redo most of the takes. You know, it was a complicated process. I had to learn some unfamiliar technical skills in order to do it.
Well, if it's available in a cassette tape, Keith will be a buyer. I've ridden in Keith's car.
Yeah, right. Now, I'm still back in the cassette age. Well, is it just the article Sexual Utopian Power, or is it the other articles
that are in the whole book? It's the whole book.
Yeah.
They didn't shortchange us.
Well, right, man.
That's a great announcement. Wow. I should have known that, but I didn't know that. But we certainly want you to buy the book, and now the audio version.
Yeah, in the dulcet tones of Roger himself.
Yes, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't just write books. He also writes engrossing articles, one of which we saw recently, even though it actually came out a few weeks ago. But it's one that I think tackles the topic of our age, and that is the continuing deterioration of our political discourse. I think, Roger, if we go much further, our political discourse will come to the point where we just grunt and make angry gestures
right.
at one another.
Throw rocks at one another.
Yeah, something like that. But
food fight, yes.
You had a great article that I think originally appeared on VDare. I've seen it in other places as well, such as uns.com.
Yes.
But let's talk about the devil term that was invented to dispossess Americans. Give us your treatment.
Right. I originally called it the white supremacy smear, but I cite this concept that was, as far as I know, coined by the Southern philosopher Richard M. Weaver, one of my favorite authors. He noticed in his time, and I'm talking about the middle of the last century, like 1953, in his books, The Ethics of Rhetoric, he talked about God terms and devil terms. And what these terms have in common is that they don't clearly refer to anything, but they bias you either in its favor or against it. Like, for example, God terms would be democracy, progress. In his time, science was an important term. You know, even Karl Marx claimed that his socialism was scientific. Freedom, of course, is a God term. And then devil terms are terms that are meant to manipulate the reader or listener into disliking something without making clear what it is. Like, well, in past ages, if you didn't like somebody, you might call them a heretic or an atheist, back when we still had a Christian culture. Nowadays, of course, we know what the devil terms are. They're the things you and I get called: racist, white supremacist, fascist, neo-Nazi, and a lot of the times,
white nationalists.
Our opponents really don't have much else to say except to call us those names.
And you know, Roger, back in the '50s,
the article
we had
to analyze this a little bit and to talk about how a devil term such as white supremacist works. It's a special kind of word. It has, as I introduced the distinction between denotation and connotation, which is like what you learn in linguistics 101. A word has a denotation, which is an objective reference. And then it can have negative or positive connotations, too. And a devil term is simply a term that has extremely negative connotations but does not clearly refer to any class of people, so that, you know, anybody can be called a racist. Now they're calling Justin Trudeau a racist, and, you know, nobody is immune from it, not just people like
us, Roger.
You know, even hardcore liberals.
Roger, this is Keith Alexander.
Yes.
Let me just say, you know, the right has been guilty of this, too. Like in the 50s.
Oh, sure.
The right used communist as a
right.
devil term,
I guess.
Although it did have more of a denotation than just simply connotation.
There's probably more of an element of truth in those accusations than the way they're being applied today.
The difference between communists and white supremacists are that communists actually exist. There was a communist party of the Soviet Union. Now, most of the Americans who got called, well, many of them who got called communists loosely back in the 1950s, maybe were just liberals, or at least some of them. But that is a good example of a devil term for our side. Yeah.
Well, there is something interesting, too, Roger, about that, is that the liberals of the day decried McCarthyism as this intolerable evil, and now they have taken McCarthyism to... to the third power,
right.
to an exponential degree. I mean, they actually, what they do with their denunciations of everyone with whom they disagree is a racist, Nazi, white supremacist, terror leader, et cetera, all the way up to and including the president. I mean, they make a parody of what they claimed was wrongdoing with McCarthyism.
That's right. They call it a witch hunt. And that wasn't so true of McCarthy, since communists exist and witches don't. But it certainly is true. I've never met any white supremacist. You know, Jared Taylor says the same thing. He's been advocating for whites for 30 years. He's never met anybody who's interested in seeing whites rule over non-whites. It's just, you know, you can't find people like that.
I'm glad you mentioned Jared. Jared was on the show last week, so if you missed last week's broadcast, Jared's, of course, a regular guest in our rotation as well, as is Roger, as is Mark Weber and Paul Fromm, who will be back with us tonight, too. Great stable of talent here at TPC, so catch that if you missed it last week. And certainly we talked about this. Now, we did talk about this very topic with Jared last week.
Yeah.
He was talking about how the Democrats are now saying that, you know, to a man or a woman, every candidate in the Democratic primary is calling Trump, a white nationalist or a white supremacist, which, of course, they use interchangeably. It really graduated from racist and racism to white supremacist and even terrorist in some case, or terror leader, or someone who inspires white nationalist terrorism. We're going to get to that as well, because we have this now from the Justice Department. The white nationalism is the newest, greatest threat.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Back with Dr. F. Roger Devlin, author of the book, Sexual Utopia and Power, The Feminist Revolt Against Civilization, now available as an audio version, thanks to Countercurrents and Greg Johnson. Dr. Devlin, though, back with us this evening to talk about a relatively recent article for VDare, syndicated at UNS and other places as well, about the devil term for the dispossession of traditional Americans. Now, this is nothing new. We know that leftists, and it's really a lot of projection in play, I think, Roger.
Yeah.
A lot of projection. They say we're racist. We're the ones that are full of hate. But really, it is them who are full of racist hatred, anti-white racist hatred of the founding stock of this nation. And be that as it may, this is not a new phenomenon. I wrote a book about this in 2010, Racism, Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R Word to Push the Obama Agenda. This isn't a new thing we're uncovering tonight for you folks, but it has escalated. It is escalating. It is moving on now. I can just say, and again, even with writing about contemporary mainstream paleoconservatives like Pat Buchanan. Now, Pat Buchanan is universally defamed as a white supremacist, whereas before they may mention, he's racist and he's, out of touch, but now he's a white supremacist. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is a white supremacist. I was talking about this last week with Jared, Roger, and we want to continue to go back to your article. Keith read your article as well. I know he's got a question for it, but do you think that in some way, some unintentional way, this actually helps those of us who are out there who are similarly defamed, that if they say, do you think normal Americans say, well, look,
if Trudeau is a racist, then heaven tell is not.
No, if Donald Trump is a white supremacist, maybe we should go back and give these other guys a second hearing. We know they're lying about Trump. Maybe they're lying about Devlin and Taylor and Edwards and Alexander.
Sure. When a word applies to everybody, it doesn't apply to anybody. Words are intended to distinguish one class of people from another. So when you remove all the denotation from a word, you render it useless, and it just becomes like something like a primal scream or something like that.
Well, I think it was Orwell back in the 30s that said that the word fascist had been overused to such a degree that when he heard someone say that Jones was a fascist, He just interpreted that to mean that I don't like Jones.
A question for Roger. Right. Keith, you read the article. You read the article. We were prepping on this. You read it. Observations, a question for the author.
Well, it seems that racist, white supremacist, white nationalist, all of these things are used almost interchangeably now.
Yeah.
I think that the left is intending now to try to impeach Donald Trump for being a racist. And now, because of the white privilege theme, anybody who is white is a white racist. Am I overreacting? What do you think?
Well, the impeachment is supposed to be for high crimes and misdemeanors. Being a racist is usually, of course, it doesn't really mean anything, but it seems to refer to people's thoughts. So this is an example of, what George Orwell called thought crime. The idea that holding certain thoughts is criminal in itself. And I've actually seen people say, white nationalism is an inherently violent ideology. And they say this because, most white advocates are not violent people. So they'll say, it's just the ideology is violent. And what they're getting at there is the concept that Orwell called thought crime, that we're criminals just for harboring certain thoughts. And so, if it ever gets to the point where they're impeaching politicians over that, then, we will become a kind of totalitarian state. 1984 was a satire mainly of Stalin's Soviet Union, and those are the kind of ideas that we're seeing from the left today, support for the idea of thought.
The left today has ideas that would have made Stalin blush.
Well, I was laughing about it because, I think, obviously Roger's right, but now it's Russia may be the key to our people's survival, and it's America that actually took it further in some ways.
Stalin.
Go ahead.
It's easy to trace the evolution from Soviet communism to our cultural Marxism. That's probably a subject for another conversation, but it definitely goes back to the what we call cultural Marxism, goes back to the old Marxism, certainly.
I don't think in the last 15 years, maybe there's been a handful, and I mean five or less, that have been attacked more often or more times than the royal we here at this radio program. And so we've been subjected to it for a long, long time, 15 years and going strong. The most recent attack piece came out just this week. And I have noticed in reading this article that they don't just call you these dirty names.
Yeah.
And really, obviously it's unfair and not applicable, but they don't just call you at once. They cram it in there like it's no tomorrow. I mean, I actually sent it out to our email list. I said, try to count the slurs in this piece. And again, interchangeably, the words white supremacist, white nationalist, Nazi, anti-Semite, racist, they use them all. And they do use them all, but they use them multiple times. I think the word white supremacist or the two words, the phrase white supremacist alone appeared five or six times in one article of normal length, one normal length article. They will pack it in.
Several paragraphs.
They will pack it in. There was one paragraph where white supremacist appeared four times. Four sentences, four times.
You see this in the SPLC's writings, the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's a
somebody
ought to do like a rhetorical analysis of the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is one of the things they do. Constant repetition, constant emotional manipulation through adjectives, and labels like that. And it's something that's characteristic of the whole left. You can actually find it in Lenin's writings back in, a century ago.
Roger, you're absolutely on to something. Because, as a matter of fact, the headline was exactly copy and pasted from an SPLC piece. It's like they copy and paste it and then just change the date and a couple of facts to make it, to get across the point of this particular story. But no, it actually reads like the what's the literary term for the prose of an SPLC piece, in that every word, every person or every idea that they want to denounce, they put one of these words in front of it immediately before.
Same adjectives.
Yes. And the overuse of intensifiers is another thing you'll notice. Like, instead of calling people violent, the SPLC will say that they're ultra-violent. Now, does anybody know how to distinguish between being violent and being ultra-violent? This is the same thing.
Lenin gets that like, that's like being, what's that guy?
Super reactionary.
And the cartoon character?
Instead of just reactionary, you know.
Well, and obviously they have to feel as though it is, I mean, obviously there are outliers like us and you and the people we regularly feature on this who are impervious to these attacks. And although they may be inconvenient and we may not particularly like them, we're not going to let lies of others, inhibit our good work. But they certainly feel as though, they must feel as though, their tactics are effective in silencing a great deal of people who would naturally agree with us on these issues. And that's why they do it. Why else would they do it?
Oh, sure. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are torn between believing the way we do and being afraid to to express themselves or even to think their own thoughts to the, you know, to their logical conclusions because of this ritual denunciation.
Hold on right there, Roger. The music is starting. It makes the show easy. When you shock it full of talent like we've done tonight with Mark Weber, now Roger Devlin, and still forthcoming Paul Fromm. Three of my favorites, good friends all. Roger Devlin will be back with us as we continue to talk about the devil's term to dispossess Americans. And we're talking, of course, about the slurs, the libel, the slander, white supremacy.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Some of the 2020 presidential candidates are campaigning in Des Moines, Iowa, greeting supporters at the annual Polk County Democrats Steak Fry. The organizers of the event say they will be grilling 10,000 steaks and 1,000 vegan burgers. Now, this all comes after earlier this week at a CNN climate change town hall, many of those same Democratic candidates were lecturing folks about eating less meat. The U.S. signed an agreement on Friday that sends illegal aliens seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico southern border to El Salvador. Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan tells Fox News,
"We're going to continue to do what this administration has been doing, working with the government of Mexico, working with the Northern Triangle countries to build their capacity to address this as a regional crisis, and we're going to continue to build that wall. Every mile of wall that's built, the agents are safer, they can do their job better, and this country is safer."
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Once again, it looks like trade talks with China have stalled. USA Radio Network's Wendy King reports.
Lower-level Chinese negotiators in Washington for talks canceled plans to visit farmers who've been hurt by the trade war and abruptly cut their trip short. President Trump has now decided he does not want a piecemeal trade agreement.
We're looking for the big deal. We've taken it to this level. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars of tariffs. China's devalued their currency, and they have a very bad economy right now, and I don't want them to have a bad economy.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Thank you, Wendy. This is your final weekend of summer, so do make sure and get out and enjoy it. The first day of autumn is Monday. This year, the fall equinox lands on September 23rd. Specifically at 3:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. At that time, the sun will be perfectly aligned with the equator. On Monday, most places will see about 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. This is USA Radio News.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Welcome back, Roger Devlin. Great man, great intellect. He's talking to us about the tactics of, really, and let's just put it bluntly, the white-hating racists.
Well, it's demonization. We called it devil terms, but really, what it's the old-fashioned concept of demonization they're using for it.
Well, there's some demons involved here, that's for sure, because, I mean, forget the fact about the lies being told, about those who have an affinity for their own culture, you know, Europeans, rather, European-Americans who have an affinity for their own culture, who prefer their own family to that of others, but while hating no one, you know, certainly love their own family a little bit more than others, and that's some sort of an evil, that's some sort of white supremacy. I mean, they lie about that, we know. But I am telling you, they lie about everything. I have seen in official reports that we have White House press credentials. They just make it up. They just make it up now.
Well, if you read an article on James, you think he's the personification of Yosemite Sam. He's in a whirling dervish of sputtering rage at every moment in his life.
But at the same time,
every waking moment.
You know, even according to Hillary Clinton, even Hillary Clinton said during the campaign that I would be, you know, wielding the rudder of the Trump administration if he should be elected. She put that out in a fundraising appeal. So, I mean, I'm just saying they make it up. They lie. That's what they do.
If only. Maybe someday we will.
Exactly, if only. Well,
that wise.
If only is true, Roger. But here's the point. I mean, we can laugh about this, and it is laughable. Let's make no mistake about it. It is laughable, but at the same time, it is quite serious. So here we find a headline this weekend, Roger. This is, again, part and parcel to what we've been talking about tonight, about how they discredit dissenting voices by trying to shout them down. Now, they have silenced so many people because white people are afraid of being disinvited to the next cocktail party. They are afraid of being socially ostracized.
They want societal validation.
They want to be pat on the back and told they're good people. And so the risk of being shouted down as a racist or a white, you know, all of these scare words, these terms, has done a lot. But it is getting more serious than that even. And so we read here just this week that so-called white nationalism, whatever that is now recognized as a major terror threat by the Department of Homeland Security. So, yeah, your thoughts on that, Roger? I mean, this is serious.
A couple of weeks ago, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was trying to make out that white supremacism was terrorism, and the fellow who was up before the House testifying was trying to explain to her that a terrorist is somebody who commits terrorism, you know.
Roger, not to interrupt you, but Jared and I were talking about this last week on the show, where Elizabeth Warren said her first day in office, she's going to, you know, appoint a new czar that will go after white supremacists, and then only after being pressed, she said, well, yeah, they'll have to commit a crime first.
Yes,
but no, I mean, that was open to interpretation.
That's a negotiable term.
That's right.
Right, exactly. And of course, again, there we're back to what we were talking about before, the Orwellian concept of thought crime, also seen in the gambit that white nationalism is somehow inherently violent. That's an attempt to finesse, to blur the distinction between thought and action, obviously. So, yeah, that's the way it was in the Soviet Union. If you didn't believe in communism, you were an enemy of the state. You were a criminal, you know.
So maybe Joe Biden was right when he said we believe in truth rather than facts.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Roger. No, you were making a point.
No, I'm sorry. I'm finished.
Well, let's get back to this whole thing about white nationalism being the newest, biggest, greatest threat to American security, according to the DHS. Brad Griffin over at
AssetDescent.com.
Very quickly, Brad Griffin pointed out the facts. I mean, if you take into account white people who have behaved badly and committed these heinous crimes,
And we'll own that. There have been a handful of them. I mean, literally, you could count them on your fingers.
Sure.
And no more than that.
They're not associated with you or us.
And they're not associated with anybody. That's what Brad Griffin wrote. Nobody could have stopped Dylann Roof because no one knew Dylann Roof. He wasn't a member of any of these organizations. Nobody could have stopped Patrick Crucius. No one knew who he was. No one could have stopped Britton Tarrant in New Zealand. Nobody knew who he was. He wasn't a part of or a follower of or a contributor to.
He was not a member of our version of the Communist Party.
No, there was none of that. There was no contact. So if the federal government, this is what Brad writes, knew how to stop these mass shootings, they would have done it already. But since they can't, and since they don't know how, they're going to go after people who talk about ideas that they think these shooters may have been attracted
motivated
to or motivated by. And those are the people they're going to put into jail because they have to do something. And Brad writes this in closing. Do you remember the last mass shooting? This was just a couple of weeks ago. It's already been memory holed in Odessa, Texas. Now, so that was sent down the memory hole by the media because it didn't fit the white supremacist terrorism narrative. But Seth Atur, the shooter there, called the FBI tip line before the shooting. He had been calling them for years. He personally red flagged himself to the FBI, and they still couldn't stop him because they were too focused on flagging, you know, what, Jared Taylor, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. I mean, this is where we're at, though, Roger. They're saying this is the greatest threat. You're talking about a handful of guys.
Right.
It's
and
the
they're
biggest
all, they're
threat.
They're all misfits. They're all loners, people who are not connected. You know, a movement can actually sometimes serve to control people. If you have an organization, it can serve to keep people in line. These guys tend to be very, very alienated loners, guys without many friends who lash out like this in a futile way.
Yeah, well, and it's so obvious that, you know, we are not encouraging people to do what they do. They're not members. They're not affiliated.
Right.
They don't belong to any organizations. They don't even visit the website.
Well, we've always been very clear about violence and illegal activities. I mean, obviously, stay away from that. You're just asking to ruin your life. We're all family men here. We don't want to risk that. We have children. We have wives.
And what could be more futile than killing random strangers? You know, that's the most foolish move that anyone could make that's trying to change the policy of the government or of society.
Well, that actually brings another question, Roger. If the government, if the Department of Homeland Security truly believes that so-called white nationalist, well, let me just read the headline again. Let me just read it again so I'm sure to get it right. That white nationalism is now a major terror threat. If they really believe that, how far off and disconnected from reality is our own government? And that's scary if they really believe that, because it's so untrue and so disconnected from facts and logic.
Right. There really isn't any white terrorist organization in the way that Muslims have their Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. You know, those are there. They have real networks that support this kind of action and the kind of people who do it. There's nothing like that.
Well, that's why they use terms like Nazism and the Klan and whatnot, because in the historic past there may have been organizations that did that, but there are no organizations now that have any footprint to speak of that are advocating or trying to mobilize violence against people that, on the left.
But when you do have the very rare occasion when a white person goes on, breaks bad, so to speak, and goes on one of these shooting sprees, they will attach him to us in imaginary ways in order to discredit our very heartfelt and logical
message. And they will just out of thin air conclude that they're Nazis or Klansmen, for example.
Right. I don't think
of course made more convenient by the manifesto, undoubtedly, that the agency wrote for them. But we've never actually heard any of these people with manifestos own up to the manifesto. We'll just take their word for it, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. But it all ties in to your article, does it not?
No, sure. Yes. This is. That's right. That's how. It's a form of scapegoating, I suppose. Tying certain beliefs to certain actions that don't necessarily follow, and kind of erasing distinctions between people. I think many people on the left don't have any idea that the Nazis in Germany in the 1930s weren't really exactly the same as the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, if you're a historian and you know about these organizations, you know that they were, you know, not interchangeable, but, you know, associate different categories.
Yeah, but they're all, yeah, right. I mean, Roger, we've been talking about this. The words, the terms are interchangeable. The organizations are interchangeable. Nazism is interchangeable with the Klan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no distinction. And, of course, you can do that when you have a dumbed-down, low-IQ society, a dysgenic society like we have now in America. One more segment with Roger Devlin. Stay tuned.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Roger Devlin, our featured guest for tonight, on a night that features any number of fantastic contributors, Mark Weber and Paul Fromm, Roger Devlin, anchoring the show tonight as he is on for an hour. The others are on for a half hour. But we're talking about the devil's term to dispossess traditional Americans. And, of course, it is an interchangeable term, white nationalist, white supremacist, racist, anti-Semite, Nazi, neo-Nazi. They use these terms to pretty effective degrees. But, you know, what is amazing is that you now have the Department of Homeland Security just this week saying that so-called white nationalist terrorism is one of our greatest threats. Now, if they truly believe that, and they're not just pretending to believe that, we have a situation where the inmates are running the asylum because you can literally name on your fingers, on two hands, the number of white men who have gotten, you know, gone berserk, frankly, and committed heinous acts. But you can do it on your two hands. In other words, it'd be a slow weekend in Chicago if you put so-called white nationalist terrorists.
The body count would be a slow weekend in Chicago.
That's right. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Hey, but Roger Devlin's been our guest. Keith, what do we like about Roger before we toss it back to him?
Well, Roger stalks the wild taboo. I think there used to be a website by Louis Andrews that used to go by that name.
Yeah, well, I remember it well.
This is he is Trader Hoen on this, or Trader Horn. He goes into the deepest, darkest jungles of American and Western European life, and he will tackle these wild taboos, shining light into the dark corners of experiences that are really impacting our plight. For example, female sexual carnality. That's not something that's really a topic that a lot of people want to talk about.
How do we not get into that tonight with Roger?
I know, but see, that's his primary, that's his signature article about that. He identifies and analyzes that with precision and with clarity and with intellectual rigor. He does that with every topic that he engages in, and he's an invaluable resource, not only to people on the political right, but to mankind and humankind generally. You know, he is doing the work that most intellectuals refuse to do.
There you go. Wow, Roger, that's high praise.
Well, thank you, Keith. Yeah, yeah. I used to be in the academy, but now that I'm out, I can write about anything I want to. It's wonderful.
Well, Roger, very quickly, your thoughts on what we just touched on. If American law enforcement agencies truly believe what they're pretending to believe or what they're putting out, I mean, what does that say about the American government and intelligence community?
Somebody needs to ask them the same question that Elizabeth Warren was asked. And, you know, are they going after people's thoughts or are they going after actions? And these recent shootings by white people, I don't think like the El Paso shooting, I don't know that there were any clues beforehand. You know, these loners, they sometimes don't really leave much in the way of traces. So, you know, you really can't you can't anticipate lone wolf attacks like that if the guy's halfway.
And of course, when they do leave a manifesto like Patrick Crucius, the El Paso shooter, where he specifically denies being a white nationalist or a white supremacist, he's just angry that the immigration laws of our society, of our nation, are not being enforced. They blithely ignore everything he said and continue to call him a white supremacist.
Well, they've done that to all of us, I mean, as far as that goes. But that's another good point. Thank you, Keith. I mean, Roger, your thoughts on that? So if anybody believes that, hey, you know, we need to have border security, are you too then a white supremacist terror threat?
Apparently you are. Yeah, anybody who wants to enforce the law, anybody who might, you know, think of voting for Donald Trump, you know, that's and of course, it's obvious that the term has been relieved of all meaning at that point. So, you know, but a lot of people don't see through it. I try to explain the kind of the mechanism behind the trick. It's a little bit like a shell game. You start with there is a dictionary definition of white supremacy, which is something like somebody who believes that white people are superior or should rule over other races.
Superior and should rule over.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and then you see it applied to anybody who wants the border enforced, which would make, you know, all of our forefathers white supremacists.
And the president, the current president, you know,
right?
Presumably,
right.
I think that shows more about the left and their motivation. They realize that basically having an open borders policy is an anti-white policy, and they don't want, and they recognize it, and they are basically validating the correctness of that analysis by attacking people that have that opinion as white supremacists.
The whole point of the open borders is to displace white people. I guess you heard about Mark Patuck's little chart that he puts on his wall showing how the...
But explain it to the audience.
I think it was an image that was accidentally captured in some kind of documentary. Mark Patuck, formerly of the Southern Poverty Law Center, actually keeps a chart on his wall that which shows the white percentage of the American population declining year by year, which, you know, just makes it obvious that's the motive, that's the motivation for what people like that do. They want to see whites displaced. They talk about preventing hate and preventing bias, but what it's really about is obviously replacing us, replacing legacy Americans of European descent.
And we've said this before, Roger, but let me repeat it for this. If you look at every left-wing movement that we've had since Brown versus Board of Education forward, feminism, the no-fault divorce initiative, homosexual rights, all of these things have one common thread that runs through them, and that's they work to reduce white birth rates.
Yes, yes.
Roger, with time running out, give us some contact information where you would direct people to go to learn more about your work and to support your work, even if it's buying your book, whether it be the print version or the audio version.
Well, my book, Sexual Utopia and Power, is available from Countercurrents. It's also still available from Barnes & Noble. They have not censored it yet, but Amazon.com has censored my books along with Jared Taylor's and a lot of other of our friends. My article on the white supremacy smear, it's called "The Devil Term Invented to Dispossess Americans," is available on VDare. It was the lead article for August 16th. You can find it at VDare or at UNS.com. So read it for yourself. And how much time do we have? I there's one other thing I wanted to mention before we go off the air.
By all means.
Yes.
You're the guest. We have 3 minutes remaining. Take it away.
Okay. I believe that Kevin McDonald has been a guest on your program. Isn't that true, James?
Only about 100 times.
Okay.
As recently as 2 weeks ago. He's a great friend and a regular guest.
He has a new book out. I think probably a lot of your listeners don't know about this, but he has a new book out. It's been out for about a week. It's called Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition. I'm proud to say that I helped to edit it, and I have a review that I've submitted to VDare. I hope that'll be up in the next couple of days, followed by maybe an excerpt or two from the book itself. But you can get it for the moment. You can get it from Amazon. And, grab it before the censors get to it, you know. I just ordered my
Give us a few choice bon mots from that book or from your reading of it that you think you'd like to share with the audience.
Well, answer Keith, but I should make mention that when Kevin was on 2 weeks ago, he made mention that the book would be imminently forthcoming. He was still providing the index. Completing the index, and so now it is out. Yes, I did know that, and thank you, Roger, for making mention of that. You know, I do, in addition to Kevin being a regular guest on this program, I do a monthly YouTube show with Kevin as well, TOQ Live, and this is big news. This is his magnum opus.
It's a wonderful
Tell
book.
Tell us why it intrigues you.
He's famous for writing about his trilogy about Judaism, and in a sense, what he does here is something similar for us, for European descended people. He talks about the deep sources of Western civilization, of our culture. It's a very interesting story, and he shows how, you know, these deep sources are still expressed even in modern political debates. You know, like conflicts between different white groups in the past can be expressed as like conflicts between different political alliances in the present. It's fascinating stuff.
Well, thank you, Roger, for making mention of that. He's a good friend to you, to me, to Keith, to all of us, to all of
Western. Fearless intellectual who stalks the wild taboo.
A friend to all of Western man and to the traditions of the West, Kevin McDonald. And he and I shared a speaking engagement a couple of weeks ago. I was actually with him a couple of weeks ago in the flesh. And just a great man. And thank you for making mention of that book. We'll talk more about that as well. Roger Devlin, thank you. Wow, a full hour and a complete hour is already come and gone with Roger Devlin. Thank you for providing your insights and intellect to the broadcast. It's always great talking to you.
Political cesspool is in the can.
Paul Fromm's up next. Stay tuned, everybody.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.